The Apostle Paul says, "Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." That expression of the Apostle Paul is this beautiful and poetic expression of what life in Christ brings to those that believe. We're called to awake and to arise, and Christ will shine. Now, we've looked over the last couple weeks of various aspects of the applications that the Apostle Paul gives to the church in Ephesus. The Apostle has told the church the way that now that they're in Christ, and he's described union with Christ and identity in Christ, and then he begins to talk about sanctification. We use that language of putting off and putting on as ways to describe the work of God in the life of one that's trusted in Christ for salvation. Remember, he said that if you are in Christ, if you believe the gospel and you've been brought into union with Jesus, then your thinking is not to be like the thinking of the world. We're called to think differently than the world thinks. And then you remember he gave us pointed application concerning truth and concerning behavior and concerning work and all of these great ways that those who are in Christ are what Paul would say are part of being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And last week he talked about that in greater depth. You remember he talked about sexual sin, intimacy, fornication, the way that we use our minds and our bodies as Christians. And again, Paul said there's things you're to put off and there's things you are to put on. And all of this flows from our life in Christ. We're not doing these things, you know, putting off sin and putting on godly behavior. We don't do those things so that we would be made right with God. We do those things because we've been made right with God. We do those things out of gratitude for what Christ has done in our lives. We're called to walk in a way that reflects Christ. That's your calling. And as you are called as a believer to walk in a way that reflects the Lord Jesus Christ, you realize that we do that, or you do that, and it changes everything. It changes us. It changes the way we think and the way that we feel and the way that we live. And there's times when Christians walk through life forgetting that we are called to be light. We are called light, and we are called to live in such a way that reflects that. And what Paul's doing here is he's calling us as the church, he's calling you as a Christian to wake up, and to think about your life, and to think about the way you live and how your mind and your heart and your body is a reflection of who you are in Jesus Christ. I think that in some ways there's a nice providence that today is the day that you get to hear this sermon. We've all gotten an extra hour of sleep last night, or some of you may have used that extra hour of sleep last night, not realizing that the time change happens early Sunday morning. But we got an extra hour of sleep, and we know what it feels like to be rested. You know that when you are sleepy, that your mind is not as sharp. And maybe you don't speak as clearly as you would want to. And maybe your skills are not where they would be if you were fully rested. And Paul understands that. He says, look at your Christian life. Consider if you're asleep and wake up. Be the light that Christ calls us to be. Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, for Christ will shine on you. Friends, that's our encouragement today from Ephesians 5, 7 through 14. And we want to look at this call to be light and being called light and being awake. We're going to look at that under three headings. And the first this morning is in verses 7 through 8, where Paul says, therefore do not become partakers with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. We're going to call this identify in Christ, who is your light. So you're to identify with Christ, who is your light. Paul is again talking to us about identity. What is your identity? And what Paul is doing is he's contrasting, he's reminding all of you who have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that you identify as being in Christ. You are brought into Christ, and then contrasting that with what life was like before you came to the Lord Jesus. It's a statement of identity. And what Paul says is that we're not to identify with those who do evil deeds. Now we can reflect on all of the various ways that we could apply that. We could think about how when Paul says, don't identify with those in their evil deeds, he's making us think back on the last few weeks of sermons when we've heard specific application. And Paul says, when you consider who you are, don't consider who you are in the light of those things. Consider who you are in the light of Christ. There's a denomination with whom we have fellowship right now who is having some debate on questions of identification and whether certain identifications are appropriate. And the one they're debating is gay Christian. Would one who struggles with homosexual tendencies, or if they're a believer, should they identify as a gay Christian? Paul says, you don't become partners with them. You don't identify with that sin. So you think about your own sin life. You think about whether it's drunkenness or, you know, homosexual tendencies like we just talked about, or adultery or theft or whatever that sin is. You don't come up to one and you identify yourself, hi, I'm a thieving Christian, nice to meet you. Paul says, we don't identify like that. We are light, wake up. We are in Christ, we identify in Jesus. That is our identity. Paul says, don't partner with those that do evil. Don't partner with them. Don't participate in those same things. Now, does that mean we're retreatists? Does that mean that we need a Christian version of everything? You know, many young people, when they're converted, they'll have evangelical friends that say, oh, what bands do you listen to? Oh, you like that band? Well, here's the Christian version of that band. You know, listen to this now. Here's some subpar music for you to enjoy. Or Christian art, Christian bookstores. Do we need Christian restaurants? Do we need Christian plumbers and artists. Do we need to identify that way? Meaning, like, if your plumber is not a Christian, don't use him. Use a Christian plumber. That's not what Paul's talking about. We live in the world. We're not retreatists. We're not called to the monastery. We do live in the world, but we're talking about identity. How do we think? How do we respond? How do we identify ourselves and one another as Christians? Paul says, not partakers. Because at one time, you were darkness. And now you are in light. Those metaphors of light and dark are found throughout the Old Testament, aren't they? Elder Pennington opened the service with discussing the metaphor of light and darkness and the turning on of the switch. And that's, again, all through the Old Testament. We sing psalms that speak of God's light. We're reminded that the tabernacle and later the temple had a candlestick and oil lamps that were to burn continuously. That light was never to go out. We can think of the purity of light and things being made visible in the light. Even when I woke up this morning, the sun was coming up rather than last Sunday when it was still total darkness when I woke up. We naturally associate the ideas of light and dark as being good and evil. You can think of Mad Magazine from when you were little boys. You know, the black hat spy and the white hat spy. Or old Western movies. You can identify who are the good guys and who are the bad guys based on the color of the hat. And we think in these categories. But Paul is not just talking about good versus bad in general terms that are relatively meaningless. He's talking about more. He's talking about darkness, the darkness of the Gentiles being ignorance. We don't know because of darkness. Some of you with young children, if you've walked through your living room in the middle of the night and you didn't know that Legos were left on the floor. Darkness veiled that knowledge. And because of it, you suffer. Or we can think about ignorance of God and ignorance of Christ and ignorance of the way that we are called to live. And all of this is a result of the fall, something that we share in as part of our common ancestry in Adam. That's our natural tendency. We're born into this world with an ignorance because of sin. Paul says, you were darkness. You were darkness. Now you are in light. And you're not just in light. You're in the light of the Lord. The light of the Lord. And I think that is so interesting because when Paul talks about identity, he doesn't say that you were in darkness and now you are in the light of the Lord. He says, you are light. Because you're in the Lord. Friends, as Christians, we are called to be light. And the source of that light does not come from ourselves. You may have a super chipper personality. I don't. You may have what some would describe as a natural light. You know, you walk up to someone and they smile. Why do they smile? They smile because just your natural kindness is shown. That's not what Paul's talking about. He is taught, and it's good to be kind. But what Paul is talking about is the light that we have that the world responds to, and the light that we have that expels darkness is the light that is a reflection of Christ within us. A question for the children. Does the moon produce light? Does the moon produce light? Well, in one sense, you can say, well, yes, there's light coming from the moon, but it doesn't produce light. It reflects light, doesn't it? The moon reflects the light of the sun. And at night when you look up, like think of those beautiful full moons where you can look up at the moon and it's as if it is just glowing and you could be outside and you can actually see your yard and you can see the things around you in that beautiful glow from the moon. We would say we're thankful for that light. But that light is a reflection, isn't it? Friends, if you are in Christ, you are called to shine. That's part of our calling. You reflect light, and you are light. And again, it's not that you're to muster up something within yourself where you just say, well, you know, my personality is just not reflective of light very well, or it's just not in my character to think that way. Paul says, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the light of Christ, which is reflective in your life, where you are then called light. This identity brings responsibility. When we are light, there is responsibility. All who reflect Christ have a responsibility. Verses 8 through 10, in the second place, Paul says that we are to bear fruit as children of light. We are to bear fruit as children of light. As Christians, we're called to be those that bear fruit, and we're called children of light, and we're called fruit bearers. This sort of this mixing of metaphors that Paul does here. Well, you reflect light, so what's the natural outcome of your light reflection? You're going to produce fruit. You know, Paul sort of takes those ideas and he brings them together here. He says, walk as children of light. If you're called light, the first thing that Paul would have you to do is to walk in it. And that presumes something, doesn't it? What that presumes is that we're not all walking in that light. We're not all reflecting that. There are those that are in Christ that have this little light of mine, and they hide it under the bushel, like the song says. Paul says, walk in it. Walking in the ancient world is a way of talking about the way that one lives his or her life. We might say lifestyle. And we do that even today. We use some of that language today. You know, maybe you get in a disagreement with somebody about the way you handled a situation or some family drama that you're involved with, and the person responds and says, until you've walked a mile in my shoes. We use that language, don't we? You have been enlightened by the gospel, and that should affect the way that you live your life. You're not called to just stumble around in darkness because you're not blind. You're not to stumble around saying, I'm not sure what to do in this situation, because the Word of God is light and we're called to walk in that light. Christ has removed the darkness from your eyes that you may see. I have a friend from seminary that is blind. And we had many discussions in seminary about that experience, what that's like. And, you know, think through some of those things. If you've never seen the color blue, how would you describe that? Or the sunset over the Gulf. Could you capture that in a, way that you could describe it? Or even, again, going back to the moon, the nuances of the gradation of blues under a full moon. Paul says, you are light. You're not in darkness. You're not blind to this. You know how to walk. You know the things that you are called to do. Those things are clear to us. And what I want you to notice is what Paul does is he doesn't just give us a list of do's and don'ts. That's not Christianity. You know, I want you to accept Jesus in your heart, and then, you know, here's the contract with the 100 things you're to do and the 200 things you're not to do. Sign that, do what you're told, live the Christian life. That's not how Paul thinks at all. I mean, Paul understands the moral law, and he understands that we're to live according to the moral law as Christians. But what Paul does is he gives principles to think about, principles where a renewed mind is able to apply those things to our lives. Verses 9 and 10. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern that which is pleasing in the Lord or to the Lord. So goodness, righteousness, doing those things that are morally right, doing that which has virtue and moral excellence according to the Word of God. Live in this way. Live in this light. And Paul speaks in these big categories so that we would seek to bear fruit. And how do we do that? Well, we don't do it by going to other worldviews and saying, this is where I'm standing. I'm a Christian, but I'm here. Paul's already said that. He said, don't be like the nations. Don't be like the Gentiles. We're separate. We're to think differently. So those of you who are in school, or those that are in the university or the academy, when your professor is giving you a worldview that you know is not the worldview according to the Scriptures, the Apostle Paul would say, discern that. Reject that. Walk according to the Scriptures. And that's true around us as well. We have this great worldview being forced upon us that is not according to the Word of God. Paul says, here's your identity. It's in Christ. The world says, here's your identity. It's found in many things except for Christ. Paul says, don't be like the Gentiles. Don't look to that nature to help. But we know what is pure and wholesome and good because of the Scriptures. we discern. We discern what is pleasing to the Lord. And again, how do you do that? How do you discern what is pleasing to the Lord? Like, imagine going up to a friend, or even if you want to be super random, just walk up to somebody in Publix and say, how would you discern what God would want you to do? Most people would just take them totally off guard. It sounds like a nutty question, doesn't it? But Paul would have us discern the will of God by being in the Scriptures. You see, you must be hearing from God. If you don't know what God is saying, how are you able to listen? How are you able to hear God if you're not opening the Word of God and knowing that this is God-breathed and this is God speaking to you? Maybe it's been 2 weeks since you've opened your Bible. Maybe it's been a month. Maybe you could write the word dust on the cover. God speaks in His Word, and this is how we discern the will of God. This is how we discern what God would have us to do. This is how we discern what is pure and what is good. This is how we discern what is morally excellent. This is how we discern how we are to be light in the world. And when we're not in the Word of God, we're not hearing those things. Imagine husbands and wives, if you said to your spouse, I do love you and I acknowledge our marriage, but for a month, we are just not going to speak. I got other things. And like no communication. Like that's a recipe for disaster, right? Paul says we must be in the Word of God. We're called to walk as children of light. We're called to bear fruit as children of light. Now, the obvious question or the obvious pushback might be, well, does that mean that the Bible's going to tell me what God wants me to do with my life, or whether God wants me to go to this college or that college, or whether He wants me to marry this person or that person? The Bible's not going to specifically answer those questions. And we know that. But the wisdom and the discernment drawn from the Scriptures will give you the tools to know what God's will is for your life. Pastor Nathan, should I go to this college or this college? Pastor Nathan, should I marry this woman? Pastor Nathan, what gifts do you see in me that would help me to know what to do for a living? You know, this is not a box of tarot cards, which are junk anyways, right? This is God's Word that gives you the wisdom and the tools and the light to know the will of God, that you may walk faithfully before Him. And we examine and we determine what pleases the Lord and what it is that the Lord would have us to do, and to have that discernment in our lives as we walk, as we live our lives as Christians. But I want you to see that there's another outworking of our identity in Christ that the apostle here mentions. He says we are light because of Christ, and that light causes us to bear fruit as we discern the Word of God, and that leads to exposing death through the shining of light. Expose death through the shining of light. Verses 11 through 13, don't take part in the unfruitful works of darkness. Expose them, for it's shameful to even speak of these things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. So what Paul does is he moves from this identity in the light to the light being used that fruit may grow, to light being used to expose the darkness. Now this can be understood as something that is negative. You know, exposing the darkness. This is the church's job, to expose the darkness. It is our job to just run around the culture and just expose everything that is wicked or heretical. You know, is that what Paul wants us to do? And sometimes that's the application in evangelical Christianity. I mean, evangelicals love to boycott things. You know, somebody says something like there was one last week where all of these Christians were wanting to boycott Twix bars because they paid for an advertisement and something. It's like, is that a good use of our time as the church? Or I'm sure in Orlando, your mouse ears perk up when you hear about the boycotts of Disney. Like, those always come up every several years. Or my favorite from when I was in college was Jerry Falwell on a rampage against Tinky Winky, the cartoon character. There's these movements of things where the church wants to expose and expose and expose. But I don't think this is what Paul is wanting us to do with our time. We're not just called to be retreatists as the church. We're not called to be that. What Paul is saying is that we've been brought from darkness to light, and we do expose darkness. That means that we don't participate in those things that reflect darkness. Sometimes I think that the world looks at the church and they know more about what we are against than what we're for. You know, the world looks on and they say, you know, you are against this, and you are against this, and you are against this. And that becomes the idea of actually what the church is for. We are for light, and light exposes darkness. And the light is the light of Christ. And in this metaphor, we understand that what happens when light is shined into the darkness is that the darkness goes away, doesn't it? There's this great value placed upon you in the world as a Christian, in your interactions. There's this great value. You are light. Monday morning, you will get up and you will go to work, or you will go to school, or some of you will school children at home, or whatever it is that you do with your life. If you are in Christ, you will go into that setting of life and you will be light, because that's what you're called to do. There's this great value placed upon the church in the world. And this value is that we proclaim the Word of God to a dying world. That light goes from this place. That the Word of God is opened and the light of the Scriptures shines forth, and you take that forward with you into the world. We shine as light. And Paul also reminds us that there is this positive effect as well, where sin covered will be exposed to the light. You will bring light to these things. So that's the question. Are you walking in that? Are you light? As you go to work, as you go to school, is the gospel and the things of God on your heart and mind as you go forward? And again, I'm not saying that, you know, if your work as you go to work, that, you know, you're having to share the gospel with everybody that you see. Like, that's not what Paul's saying. That reflection of the light of the gospel should even be seen in your work ethic. The way that you live, the way that you speak, the way that you interact, the jokes that you laugh at and the jokes you don't laugh at. All of these things. Will your conversations be seasoned with the Word of God? Light will shine in darkness. And you can think of all fields of work and all types of education. And we can see this plea here, even for Christians, to be involved in the world in which we live. If Paul's idea is that we are to just retreat, you know, let's just find some place between Orlando and Tampa. There's something for sale. We can buy 100 acres. We can build a giant wall. We can live as a commune. We'll figure out who is going to do what and be protected from the world. That is not Christianity. Christianity lives out there. And we are called to be light in the midst of darkness. We're called to bear fruit. And that takes discernment and work. Paul says, wake up. Arise from your sleep. You are called to a vocation in this world. Wake up and be that light. Awake, O sleeper. Arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be light. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your goodness and mercy. And we pray, O Lord, that as we go forth into our week, that we would be mindful of our identity in Christ, and that we would take that forth unto your glory, bearing fruit, walking, discerning, and being light. Amen.